Good evening.
No, good evening.
You're the first one to arrive.
Okay.
Did you feel the two classes yesterday were beneficial?
Yes. I'm trying to think which one. I took the handouts with me after Tony went to bed, and I have one of these little necklines, and I was rereading the whole section of Tu Haaretz, because there was so much in it, more than just the land. And so I was rereading that. And, right, and then...
There was a lot in
that. Yeah, and I was kind of expecting you to do the temple. And the last time you had taught it, I had made a card on chapter 6 because I was just overwhelmed with how the Holy of Holies came to be. You know, what letters did their job to create it? And I was rereading that.
Right.
So, and then I also was putting together, I've made handouts for the third meal in Havdalah that you do. And I sent a copy to Jasmine today, and I was going to send you a copy to see if you wanted it. I printed out.
Of course, I would like it. I want to make sure, you know, see if it's correct. I'm sure it is, but.
Well, it's not a matter of being correct. It's, you know, like the Ketoret are copies from the Art Scroll Prayer Book. You know, so I don't know what you do about copyright stuff, you know. But I think when it's just us on one-on-one, you know, I feel like it's okay. But I did one for the Eliyahu phrase. I highlighted in yellow the 15 that you say, and then I copied and pasted until I got to 130, so that way... As we continue on, you just have to follow with your finger, and you know you've gotten to 130.
Okay.
Anyway, I'll send it to you, and you can see if it's worth, you know, if you can use it.
Send it to me. Maybe it can be put online. We'll take a look at it.
Okay.
Welcome, Brandy.
Hi.
Hi, Brandy.
Hey, Anna.
So we're starting today with a L'shem Yichud, but then we're going to be reading Pasuk 43 of Section 7 of Parashat Noach from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bid Hilu Urchimu Ud Hilu Ud Hilu Urchimu Le'akda L'shem Yudhe Bavadhe B'Yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'atsok Torah Mitzvah V'ayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'asei Adenu Konenei Aleinu Ma'asei Adenu Konenehu V'yi Teima V'ha Ketiv Ki ra'ata goyim ba'u mikdasha v'charivu beita v'ilav shaltim inun manan la'itcharav machtisha tachatze kitiv ki ata asita uktiv asa Hashem et asher zamam. If you will ask, is it not written? For she has seen that the heathen nations invaded her sanctuary and destroyed the temple, which implies that if really no other ministers ruled, then the temple would not have been destroyed. Come and see. It is stated, for you have done, and Hashem has done, that which he devised. So you can see that it was done by the Holy One himself. blessed be he, and not by ministers. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, it's once again telling us that Hashem is the one who takes care of Israel.
Correct.
And not one of the ministering angels, so. Which has been saying that from
these three verses that come from Echa, from Lamentations,
right.
You know, the first one can be misinterpreted.
What do you mean by the first one?
The nations invaded the sanctuary, but that wasn't because there were other ministers, there were other angelic ministers. They were allowed to invade the sanctuary because that was the plan of Hashem as the consequence of various mistakes that the children of Israel made.
We had a rabbi who would often say that Israel is holy because it belongs to God. His statement keeps coming back to me as we've read these verses, and I don't know quite how to make that fit in here.
Well, I've heard that phraseology before also. Israel is holy because God is holy. That's essentially what is said in the Torah. It's very specific language. You are holy because I am holy.
Right.
The land of Israel is holy because I am holy. Hashem is holy.
And God, Israel, and Hashem are one, and the land of Israel are one.
Right.
That's often.
But in order to understand those verses, you have to understand what is the meaning of holiness.
Separated unto Hashem.
Say again. Welcome, Malka. We're discussing verse 43. So, Hana, I didn't quite hear what you said about Hashem.
Well, that Hashem, Israel, and the land of Israel are one.
Yes.
Unified. So that's also quoted often.
Yes. But again, we get to
yes, meaning of holiness, and I think I said mean separated for the service of Hashem.
There's a process of becoming a prophet. And that process of becoming a prophet is training, it's education, it's practice. But in essence, all of those actions of practice and training and education, all of those actions relate to purifying the individual souls, to be potentially a prophet. But once someone is purified, it doesn't mean they become a prophet. They're purified. But now to become a prophet, Hashem has to separate them. Hashem has to choose them to be prophets. That process of Hashem choosing is an elevation. It's a separation. And that's the meaning of holiness. Hashem has separated you and elevated you to be something other than you were. Before that action of separation and elevation, you were purified. But holiness is a different level. And that actually comes from looking at the letters that spell the word Kadosh. Kuf, Dalet, Vav, Shin. So in this pasuk that we are looking at today, ministers cannot bless the children of Israel. Only Hashem can, because Hashem chose them, not in the sense that they were chosen, as in the typical translation of the word segol, as in the famous verse. I don't know what's the language of it.
A treasured people.
A treasured people, a chosen people.
Yeah.
That translation is inaccurate. The translation, the actual Hebrew is saying, you're going to be a nation of priests. You're going to be, I have chosen you. I have elevated you. I have separated you. That's what the segol, the am segola, the chosen nation, the treasured nation, the separated nation, that's what the children of Israel are. Because of that, there is no other minister that can cause anything to the children of Israel as a nation. That's really what's implied and hinted at in this verse number 43.
I was thinking today, because whenever we recite the Ketoret offering, and the idea that the high priest went in to the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur and offered that incense offering. I thought today we better do it on Yom Kippur, because I've always taken it that whenever we do the offering or we do some of these other prayers, that we are taking on the role of a priest. I mean, I don't feel
that
like you're elevating yourself or anything, but that we're doing a priestly mitzvah.
That's exactly one of the meanings of you are a nation of priests, one of the verses that describe the children of Israel. But I want to clarify that the Torah, the incense offering, took place twice a day. It wasn't in the Holy of Holies.
Yeah, I know, but on Yom Kippur, he did go in on Yom Kippur.
Yes, on Yom Kippur, he did the incense offering in the Holy of Holies.
Right.
But in order to do that, he had to move the menorah.
Right. And then he also took the spices and pounded them even finer.
Exactly. Yes, the spices had to be become more pure, which is what you said is finer. Let's move on to verse 44. Tachatze kiti vayar Elokim et haaretz v'hine nishchata vaday. Kima deitmar hake name priyar Elokim et maasehem ki shevu midarcham ara'a deha kedain ara karat leila vesalka bisliku ila'a kashta ampaha kenu vadim kashta vegabe dekura Ake na me ara de hage de la de late benin zakain le maoka. Come and see. It is written, and Elohim looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. It was surely corrupt. And furthermore, it is also stated, and Elohim saw their deeds, in that they turned from their evil ways. Because then the earth calls out to the higher, to Zeranpin, and rises to an upper grade. It beautified its face, as though it were a woman beautifying herself for a man. In the same manner, the earth pleased the king, who is Zeranpin, for it raised righteous children for him. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, it looks like the verse, and Elohim saw their deeds, and that they turned evil away, and the reference is from Jonah, which we know that Nineveh did repent. So it's showing us that Teshuvah causes us to rise up again.
Very nice. That is very well said in this verse, and that's part of the meaning. But it's interesting to say that Zeranpin, or actually that Malchut is causing children to be raised. Righteous children come from Malchut. And what this is hinting at is the environment that you live within is what you become. So if you live with people who are not doing mitzvot, you live with people who are not doing good deeds, you're going to be drawn to do less mitzvot and less righteous deeds. Less good deeds. But if you live with people who are doing righteous deeds, they're doing mitzvot, they're doing good deeds over and over again, you're going to be taught that. The environment that you live causes you to be who you are. There's an iterative process in cause and effect. Where you live, among whom the people around you, this affects who you are. And yet you're attracted to cities and locations that are consistent with your soul. Or you wouldn't be drawn to those places. You'd feel uncomfortable in those places. I did business earlier in my life. I would fly into New York, and I was, it's a beautiful city. It's got all of this stuff that everybody thinks is a wonderful place. But for me, it was a very uncomfortable place of energy. I never felt at home. I was constantly nervous when I was in New York City. It wasn't New York's fault. It was the affinity between the energy of New York City and myself. That wasn't where I was to be. And I felt that energy very clearly whenever I went into the environs of that energy.
New York was too fast-paced for me. That was the kind of energy I felt. I was so glad to be back home after being there for a week.
I understand. It's not for everybody, that's for sure. Verse 45. Veha ka dila tavu dira makiti veyar elokin et haaretz vehine nishkata vegomer ki'ita deistavat veastirat anpaha mi ba'ala uzimna deaskihu chove b'nei nasha ve'it galya ara shavita anpaha kenu kva dilet lakki sufa mikola kimadiat amer beha aret hanfa hanfa tahat yoshveha vialda the arkinishata vadai mata ama begin ki ishit kol basar et darko al haaretz. While here, what is written about the generation of the flood that did not repent? And Elohim looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, like a wife who committed adultery and hides her face from her husband. When the sins of people multiply, and they sin openly, the earth becomes brazen like a woman who has no shame. As it is written, and the earth was defiled under its inhabitants. And so it is said that he looked, it was corrupt. Assuredly, you may ask why, because all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. Questions, comments, thoughts?
And that was the whole reason for the flood.
You know, it doesn't sound like it's changed much, that it's still that way today.
The world is corrupt today, or people are corrupt today?
I would think that people are corrupt.
Well, actually, people are not corrupt. Their actions are corrupt. Never judge a person by the actions. You can hate the actions, but never hate the person.
I've been told that several times.
So, what this verse is saying, that the flesh itself had become corrupted, that the actions were so negative that the physical body had become corrupted. And then you have the Midrashim saying about how the animals themselves were committing sexual actions against other species. That's in the Midrash. And that's the understanding of this phrase, all flesh had corrupted its way. Because the human activity had so created the environment that the world, the physical world, was in, that everything in the physical world that was flesh, that was had a body, was no longer able to follow its normal plan, its normal what's the word that what that animals have? They know exactly the right thing to do automatically.
Instinct.
Say again.
Instinct.
Instinct. Correct. The human activity had so infused the environment that animals no longer followed their instincts. Their instincts had become corrupted. That's really the deepest meaning of this phrase. All flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. And to some extent, we have that today. It's not quite as severe as it was in the flood nation of the flood, but it is very, you know, there are signs of that. You're finding animals are now, all of a sudden there's a new species that came out of two different, you know, animals who impregnated each other or impregnated the female. And it's not their normal instinct. It's not the normal species that they are attracted to. You're hearing about that from within the news media. So there is some signs of that. As we get closer to the end of times, human activity is becoming more selfish. But you're also seeing signs where people are becoming aware and they're looking to make changes in their life so that this doesn't continue, that they do teshuvah in various ways. Are there any other questions?
Well, I was just thinking that it's because you've taught us so much to get out of our comfort zone. I think that has helped us to change, or to be aware at least of the change. And the idea of choosing between two decisions, that the hardest one is the one you should choose, which most of the time we would have chosen the easiest path. And I think those principles of Kabbalah have helped us a lot.
I agree. They've helped me. I still don't do them often enough, but that's, you know, That's why we're in this sandbox of mistakes, so that we'll make them and learn from them. So our class at 7 o'clock West Coast time will be continuing the Sunday's morning's class, which was preparation for teshuvah.
Okay.
Say again, I didn't hear. Somebody spoke. Did you want to say something? Maybe I was hearing my own voice again.
No, I heard someone say something. At the same time, I said, okay. So maybe that person... just wait
no,
until.
It's okay. It didn't pertain to class.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
So the next class is continuing the preparation for teshuvah, learning about how to do teshuvah. And then tomorrow at 4:30, we will move on to section 8 of Noah. And at 7 o'clock, we will continue the preparation for teshuvah. And I know I had said that we would finish the third temple classes, and we will, as soon as we get the preparation for the Teshuvah completed and the preparation for the Tishrei holidays completed. Then we will move back and get all of that together. I'm also reminding you to put on your calendar, for those of you who wish to participate, that there will be a class at 7:30 every morning, West Coast time, starting on the 24th of August. And that class will be approximately an hour long for Slichot and Psalm 27. And then there will be a class at 8:30. I had originally said 8:15, but I can't. The recording system doesn't work that close, so it'll be at 8:30 West Coast time, and we will do a Zohar study every night. So put those on your calendar for those of you who want to join us. And I hope to see you later this evening. Have a beautiful evening. Shalom to all.
Shalom. Shalom.